Hello, Debbie.
Hi, is that Karen I hear?
This is Karen, Debbie. How are you?
I am very thrilled to be speaking to you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Likewise.
What masterful work you have done on Golda.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I mean, it was a massive team effort, as these things always are, aren't they? It was a pleasure doing it because I had worked with Helen before. So, you know, there's a bit of a shortcut there, isn't it? We sort of had a Zoom about it and decided, you know, Helen was a little bit relaxed with the session. She's never done anything like that before. So we thought maybe we'll just use a wig. We've had eyebrows, contact lenses, teeth, the pieces. You know, we didn't have as many pieces as people think. We had two cheek pieces, eye bags, small neck piece, and a bit of a nose piece. So it was lots of things that were made. And then we thought we'll aim towards the makeup test, which, you know, was about 4 or 5 weeks from my first getting the job, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
Mad. Absolutely mad. And she stepped off the plane, Helen, and we sort of did it. And she said, oh, dear, it looks really good. I think we thought, well, we'll dump off some of this, but we didn't dump off much. Just the cheekbones and the teeth, because they can take a while to get used to. But it kind of didn't take as much as people would think to transform her. We looked at the silhouette. Obviously, it looked very, very different. But we knew there were small things we could do rather than a whole face of prosthetics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give an essence of Golda. That was what we wanted. And to show Helen and to let Helen shine through as one of the best actors in the world.
Yes.
So that's what we aimed at. I hope that's what we achieved.
I think you definitely achieved that. I mean, because I saw what you did with Helen for Roger's film, The Duke.
Oh, thank you for saying Roger's film.
I loved Roger. Loved him dearly.
Me too, God, Debbie. I miss him every single day. He was wonderful, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. We spoke every time he finished a film. We would speak and we would joke because sometimes it would be the same time each year. And you go, here we are again.
Oh, I love him. He was a brilliant director. Both Helen and I really did. Oh. Well, everybody adored him. It was such a shock when he passed.
Yes, I could not believe it. And a truly nice man.
Down to earth and normal, just but very, very, very talented. But so humble about it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I'm pleased that you saw that because when I first got that job and they said it's Helen Mirren, you know, one thing for Helen, she's beautiful, glamorous Helen. I thought, oh, no, this is not so good. A dowdy cleaner. But, you know, there is no vanity with Helen.
Right.
Ever. So, you know, it was a no-makeup look and that's what we went for. And the wig and everything else. So I loved that job so much.
Well, and
so, you know, I was very, very lucky. So I had a shorthand with Helen and we had a Zoom call to talk about Golda with Sinead Cadell, our costume designer. And, you know, Helen was a little bit reluctant because she's never had prosthetics like that before. So we decided, let's get a scan done in LA. She was in LA. And we knew she would come back a week before shooting. So it was just mad. It was the same with Liev Schreiber. He sort of got cast and I got his shape flown over from New York and Campbell Young. And we just made it without him being there. And the same with Helen for everything. You know, the wig, the eyebrows, the teeth. We couldn't get hand-painted contact. We had to have sort of off-the-shelf ones and really brown eyes was difficult to do. So, you know, but it worked out fine in the end. But it was all very much on a last, you know, very tight schedule. So I think I was very lucky that I knew Helen from before. And we, you know, we got on very well. And I think that we both thought, well, you know what, we'll give it a go. We don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we got it on her, we thought, oh, no, we have to use it. And it's a massive undertaking for her. Because
yeah.
There were four of us doing her. And that was still 2 to 2.5 hours.
Oh my gosh. And this is one of the things that excited me when I first heard you were going to be doing the hair and makeup on Golda, is because you had worked with Helen and I saw what you did with her in The Duke. So I was anxious to see what you were going to do with Golda, because we've had telemovies and other things with other actresses stepping in. But I know that Guy is so fastidious and so meticulous in what he does. And, I mean, I adore Guy. I think he's wonderful.
Yes, he's wonderful as well. And actually, he was very much instrumental in all this, because when I spoke to him for the job, I desperately wanted the job. It's one of those dream jobs. And my agent phoned and said, do you want to be first or last? I said, I have to be last, because I've got my lunch break between 6 and 6.30 and I've got Hugh Jackman to make up. I can't be leaving him. So I've got half an hour to tell them. So it was like that. And he said to me on the Zoom, I want prosthetics. Can you do it? People say, no, it's too tight. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. But I phoned up my normal, you know, my prosthetic people. Nobody really said, anybody said, no, yeah, there's not enough time. So I looked up Susie of Red Girl Effect, Susie Battersby, and phoned her. She's quite a new company that she started. And I said, shall we do this together? Because I think we could do this really, really well. It's going to be a tough few weeks of getting it done. And she was the one that agreed. So I was very lucky. Because, you know, you don't want Debbie to fall over on a massive makeup like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to make mistakes on that. It's just up there. And especially in this, I mean, if you notice, well, you must have all the close-ups.
Yes.
Close-ups on eyes, and you think, oh, my God, Guy, what are you doing? And I would sort of jump out of my chair at the monitor. And then, of course, when you see it go out and think, well, actually, it all looks good. You can't see any wig laces. You know, everything looks good. Then, of course, we're very thankful to Guy for that. But you're right. He's fastidious, very, very much so. And he just wanted so much for her to look right, Helen, to look as much like Golda as possible. Thank Guy for, to be honest.
And you mentioned something really key, is that there are so many close-ups with Helen as Golda, because the eyes are the windows to the soul. And that's really what Guy was using visually, and his camera work that Jasper was doing, his cinematographer.
Talk to me about Jasper, because, I mean, yes, and those close-up on the eyes with contact lenses that are off the peg ones, but it was fine. You know, you are mentioning all the right things, Debbie, because, to be frank, you always depend on your DOP so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make or break it, and it really is as simple as that. They make or break it. And he made it. It's quite an art to photograph a light aesthetic. I thought he was, well, one of the best I've worked with, and very, very understanding of what we had to do. And as we all know on film, it's not just that I've got a lovely, fabulous team that enable all this to happen as well, but it's the team around you. So all of us, Sinead, costume, we worked so closely together. And Jasper was amazing. So we owe him a lot as well. Because when you're going close like that, you are so exposed. And you're right, he is one of the best, I think.
And that was one of the things, and I've mentioned this to Guy before, is that with all of these close-ups, and this is a testament to you, it's a testament to Susie and your team, everything is seamless. As you said, you know, we don't see the lace wig underlay.
No.
We don't.
No,
we
and
don't
the eyebrows,
see.
Which are
yeah. Oh my God.
The eyebrows. Murderous, the eyebrows. They really are so difficult. And I just kept looking and thinking, no, I believe. And it was, you know, we didn't have a long time doing that, because obviously we were all as speedy as we could be for Helen. So when you looked like that and it looked so real, again, Sarah Weatherburn made those. They were amazing, those eyebrows. That's the kind of touch that turns a very good makeup into a caricature or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to avoid that. Obviously, everybody knows you have to avoid that at all costs. But it's things like that, eyebrows, that can can turn it that way, but we were very, you know, it just all, I think it all came together for us really well, everything together.
Even down to the jowls down into the neck. So often I have seen in films where it looks, it's almost like you can see the pace line of the prosthetic. And
I know.
We have none of that.
Debbie, they don't join. Because again, I was just so mindful of Helen. And letting Helen shine through, you know, as an amazing actor she is. So none of those prosthetic pieces are joined. So they go into Helen's natural folds, which is difficult. But we needed them to be independent because I was worried if we did it, that it all slotted in. I thought, if Helen doesn't like it, that's the end of that. So if we just do the cheek pieces independent, going into sort of a nasal labial fold and a half a neck piece, it wasn't a full neck, that we'd have more chances of it flying. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to get everything. I wanted everything making and then get rid of some, which we didn't do. But you're right, it can be that. And you know, I've done this quite a few things like this now. And you just learn from experience, and it's tough, but I've had experience in it, and then each time seems to get better. And you know, I remember saying to Guy, desperately wanting to give me the job. Well, Guy, I think, you know, all of the jobs I've done come together to this one. I'm the person for this job. And I never say that stuff. But I wanted it because I think I knew then that it was a job of a lifetime, really, Debbie, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
You don't get those chances all the time.
And the work that you did with Liev as Kissinger, that was so minimal, what you did with him.
You see, yes, thank you, Debbie, because my kind of byword is natural, and so that people don't notice what I'm doing. Clearly, obviously, you're going to notice with the prosthetics and stuff. Wigs, you know, Helen's got a wig on, but we got the shape thrown over for that. I spoke to Liev and he said, like, oh, how's it going? I said, I've made the wig. Oh my goodness, already, well done. And we sort of got it on him, and he was amazing, an actor, of course. That helps us, doesn't it? I mean, his performance was sensational. And we had to make a couple of adjustments to that wig, because of course you wanted to be Henry Kissinger, but always mindful that it's Liev Schreiber wearing it or Helen Mirren wearing something. You know, you cannot just, well, I don't think you can sort of, you know, we did a little bit of shading, tiny, tiny makeup with Liev, but, you know, hopefully it helped it. But I'm always mindful to almost give an essence of the person rather than sort of transpose Kissinger's face onto him or Kissinger's hair onto Liev. It also has to suit Liev as well. So you're always very, very mindful of your actors and their performance and everything being as comfortable for them as possible, because, you know, it's so important in this kind of thing that they feel right and look right.
Well, and with Liev as Kissinger, just getting that profile between the glasses and the wig, it then let him just bring us. He could infuse himself with his with his posture, with the way he walked, the slow deliberateness, sitting at a table, the way he would slowly move a coffee cup or a plate of cake. Yeah. And that really gave me more of a sense of Kissinger. It's like, yes, we have the profile, we have the overall, okay, yeah, is that Kissinger, is it not? But it was the performance. It then let his performance come through to inform us of the meticulous nature and deliberateness of who Henry Kissinger was.
I know. Same. I think he's a wonderful actor.
Yes.
And you're so right. It's everything that comes together because, you know, as I say, it was such a team effort, that job. And Sinead and I had never worked together before, but you know, I do my bit, and the minute the glasses go on, she was really fastidious about those glasses, really, really fastidious. And the minute the glasses went on, I think he had felt, you know, I'm it, this is it, I'm it. And he was so naturalistic with that performance, I mean, he hit the ground running as well. I think he trained 2 or 3 days before shooting. You know.
Wow.
But you're right. He was amazing. I was just so pleased with him and that wig, because it's difficult, that sort of very off-the-face wig. Being mm-hmm. waved like that, the texture, as in Helen's wig as well, it's so important to get the texture right. And the same with him. So considering we didn't really see him until 2 or 3 days before shooting, especially, we were happy, very happy.
That just amazes me, Karen. That amazes me that you do all this and then you only see him 2 or 3 days before you're starting to shoot.
I know. I mean, to be honest, when they said it's going to be the Ayres Shriver, I said, okay, well, and then it wasn't confirmed. They weren't sure. You know, deals are done and everything, aren't they, Debbie? But then, I then found out, right, okay, where's he heading? I phoned everyone. In New York, everywhere. Yes, Campbell Young had it. Get it to me. And I thought, right, I'm going to risk this now, because I think they're not letting the Ayres Shriver slip through their fingers. So I started it. I risked it. And it was that wig that was actually made in-house with my team. And I just got myself ahead. That's what I do. I'm kind of like a bit of a rock star. I feel like that. I just get it and crack on with it and get it done. You know, I'm used to it. At the BBC, when I trained there, it was all about doing it well, but doing it pretty quickly, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of how I do it. It's sort of second nature to me, really. It's interesting. I've been on a very long job this time. And it's such a different experience. It really is a different experience, because I'm used to independent film like that. You know, like Roger, as you say, Roger, Kevin Loder, all the wonderful people I've worked with here. But I've enjoyed this as well. But on independent film, it's always the same. You've got to be quick.
You've got to be quick. Those low budget, no budget, micro budget films, and you're flying by the seat of your pants. You've got no time and limited money.
Is it? It's so true. It's limited money, but I sort of, over the years, I've kind of accumulated stock of my own. So apart from the Evan Helen, it was my wigs that we adapted. And really, you know, a lot of the money went on those two. That's where most of the money went. Very lucky that I've got all that. So it all came together really, really well in the end.
So you were also doing the hair and makeup for the rest of the cast as well, you and your team. Because you've got Rami Hauberger, who stepped in as Moshe Dayan. Of course, that's not, you've got a scar and you've got an eye patch, but they're still.
I must have to say, a lot of the actors came over from Israel, and I've never met a cast quite like it. Because Rennie, I said, look, how do you feel? Do we need to do a ball cap here and a piece? Or, no, shave my hair. So we shaved that ball face in, you know, coloured the hair. We did actually do a prosthetic eye, but that didn't actually get used in the end. So yes, lots of people had their hair coloured. Lots of the men had their hair coloured. We had little tiny hair pieces. Dominic, who played 10x11, we just sort of got him and made a piece in a couple of days. Very small piece, just to give a little peek. For the women, I wanted, even though it was 70s, I wanted to do a slightly more old-fashioned set look, almost like the 1950s I went for.
Mm-hmm.
So people like Ellie playing Shiv, she had a proper set under the dryer, and the supporting artists, we did the same. I just thought it more befitting of the story and the surroundings where they all were. So that's what we went for with all of the others. You know, as I say, hair pieces, three-quarter wig. Lots of different things on all of them.
Mm-hmm. How many people did you have to worry about doing hair and makeup for in this cast?
Well, I mean, I was there always with Helen. Obviously, there were four of us. Also, Ellie playing Shiv. All of them, really. We had a big makeup truck. We had two sort of set up. And so I would make sure everyone else that was important came through the other end of the truck, so I could be helping to do that. You know, I had an amazing team, I have to say that. I mean, I've got Rick Strickland, my sort of right-hand man, and Jan Carlos. They are amazing hairdressers. They come from the theatre. So we were constantly dressing wigs, all of us. And, you know, almost every night I was there, redressing Ellen's wig, washing it twice a week, washing Liev's wig, and you can imagine putting those finger waves in. It was a constant in and out with wigs and pieces. Yeah, you're right. It was busy. It was a busy few weeks.
Oh, my God. It just, but, you know, but I look at the entire film, and yes, I think Guy did a brilliant, it was brilliant of him to cast so many Israeli actors, because yeah. you have that look. Every region in the world, there is a look, and you can't duplicate it. You really can't.
Well, you're so right. You are so right, because I remember saying to Guy, who are you casting for this? And of course, some of them are not known actors, are they? But he said, well, this one, this from Israel, they're coming over. And at the minute I sort of clapped eyes on all of them, I thought, yes, I can make you look just like that. We can do it. They have the look. You're so right to say that, Debbie. And it actually helped me so much. And it also helped me that they were the most amenable cast you could dream of. I mean, people just don't dye their hair at the top of a hat and bleach their hair, which we had to do with one to make him look great. And all of them, we had a stock of contact lenses, and they'd all say, yeah, let's try that. You know, it sometimes you have to have contact practice. They'll practice for months on end with those. But this lot, and I think also, obviously, the subject matter, they were very, very committed to it and very committed to Guy. So it was like a family. We were filmed it in a sort of disused school, and we were all connected. So my makeup room was next to Sinead's costume. We're near to design, near to Jasper. We walked around to the studio bit of it. It felt like perfect filmmaking, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
It's a real massive, massive team that just together so strong. And you know, it's not always like that. That's what you hope for, as you know. You know, that's what it's like when you work for Roger, because Roger would employ us. I met Roger on a film called The Weekend, and then I did something, I did two or three other things with him. So here, he creates that, he did create that, by getting us all back together again and having his own team. But that wasn't the case with Guy, but I think it was the subject matter, the actors, and all of us creatives, as I say, everybody, what I felt, was at the top of their game, and it all came together and worked so well.
Well, you definitely at the top of your game with this one. And of course, then I get treated. Not I see Golda, and then we've got the sun. But then you get to do hair and makeup on some very fine looking young men in red, white, and royal blue.
Yes.
So
that was one of my fun ones again, because my agent phoned me and said, "What do you think of this?" I said, "Oh, yes, who's in it?" And she said, blah, blah. And went through, "Oh, yes, I like him. Oh, and Uma Thurman." I thought, "Oh, yes, I'd like to make up Uma Thurman." And, you know, again, you pick another one, Debbie, because that was one of my favorite ever jobs.
Oh, my goodness.
Because even though it was contemporary, and I remember the first sort of creative Zoom, and they go through design, blah, blah, and they got up to the end, and it all went on a bit, and they said, "Well, Karen, do you want to just send us fitting photos? We're coming to the end." I said, "Actually, you might want to listen to what I'm going to say, because I've got a wig for this one." "What? A wig for this one?" "I want an asymmetric afro bob on Rachel Hilson." "Oh, my goodness me. Okay." So, you know, people panic, as you probably know, when the word wig comes up. But it just was a dream of a job. We loved Matthew Lopez. We loved our cast. And it was, yeah, it really is. And funny enough, I was just talking to my daughter's big on Instagram, Debbie, and I'm not, but I think she's going to put a post out for that one. Yeah, we need to say, "Mummy did this one," she said. But it was, again, creative and fun and not my normal thing, because I normally do period dramas, always, because, you know, there's more wigs, aesthetics, and everything mm-hmm. else. But on that, it was creative and it was fun.
And to see this contrast in your work, I think that's a perfect example of the range that you have doing hair and makeup and wigs. It is a red, white, and blue, and Golda. and then throw in the Duke. But because you had, I got to tell you, in Taylor Perez, you had one fine-looking guy with the greatest eyelashes I've ever seen in my life.
And a dream, and a lovely, lovely, lovely person. He is beautiful, isn't he? I know. Well, you know what? Thank you for saying that about the project, because even when I started out, and of course everybody, when you're starting out and you're freelance, I left the BBC, everybody wants to work and everybody needs to earn money, but I've always tried very hard to wait for the right project that's going to either lead on to things or is creative. And, you know, things slightly changed for me when I met Roger, if I'm honest, because he wanted always, you know, to work with me. I was very fortunate, and then word kind of gets around, doesn't it? So opportunities sort of open, doors open for you from things like that. Because, as you say, we're such a well-respected director. And he helped me a lot. And I always, always try hard to wait for the project that interests me so much. Really, because you do give so much of your time over to it. I was talking to a girl on the phone who wants to get into it, and I always say, please come work with me for a week, because don't think it's as glamorous, you know, the hours are long, but I love it so much, and I've always felt so very, very lucky to have my job. I know I'm incredibly fortunate in the work I've done, but I try hard to get jobs that interest me, because if you are coming in at 5 o'clock and it's boring or whatever, or not with interesting people, then I imagine that to be a bit of a drudge, isn't it? But I've never had that. I've always worked with great people and on lovely, lovely projects.
Well, I think a great and talented person like yourself will always attract great people who want to work with her.
Well, thank you. That's so nice of you to say that. Thank you, Debbie.
Karen, just incredible work on Golda. This is definitely award-worthy work that you have done, because you give us, we get the true essence of Golda. We have the resemblance. We don't have a caricature, but we really get inside of these people, who they were, and especially in the case of Helen with her portrayal. You in your makeup and your wig work, it and prosthetics, it enhances. It doesn't detract. It enhances what is being brought to the role. And just job so well done, Karen. So well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. Coming from you. Thank you, Debbie.
Karen, this has been a joy getting to speak with you. I hope we get to do it again in the future.
I hope so. Likewise, you've made it very easy, Debbie. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Karen. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Yes, and to you.